The prophet Elisha continued, chapter 92. One day a woman comes to Elisha. She is a poor widow. "Oh, sir," she complains, "will you help me?" "What is the trouble?" the prophet Elisha asks. "My husband is dead," this widow tells him, "and you know that he feared the Lord. While my husband was still alive, he borrowed money, but before he could pay it back, he died. The creditor came and he demands that I pay him his money. I cannot give it to him, for I do not have it. He now wants to take my two sons for slaves. Oh, if he takes them, I will have nothing." Elisha has compassion with this poor widow. He knew her husband, and for he was also a prophet. He met him at one of the schools for the prophets. He can readily understand what is going on in the heart of this woman. Elisha says to her, "What do you have in your house?" "Nothing, except a small jug of oil," she says hesitatingly. "This is all I own." Elisha says to this widow, "Go and ask your neighbors if they will loan you their empty vessels which they have in their houses. Be sure you get a great number of them. Then you must go with your two sons into your house. Lock the door behind you and pour the oil you have into all those vessels." She does this. Her sons gather all the empty vessels which they could get. Soon her dwelling is filled with vessels. She locks the door of her house and pours all these empty vessels full from the little jug which she had. How is that possible? Yes, children, that really is impossible, but it does take place here. The oil kept running. Wonderful, isn't it? But with the Lord, nothing is too wonderful. Finally, when all the vessels are filled, the oil stops flowing. The widow now has a great deal of oil. She sells this oil upon the advice of Elisha the prophet, and with this money she pays her complete debt. She also has enough money over from which she can live with her children. The Lord delivered this poor widow out of her troubles and cares. The Lord took care of her. The Lord still does that today. He still takes care of the widows, because we read in the Bible that he will be a husband to the widows. Always remember, you should never tease a widow or cause her any grief, because the Lord will surely avenge it. In this manner, Elisha travels through the land. He has a servant who is always with him, and who does all kinds of errands for him. His name is Gehazi. How many wonders already took place by the means of the prophet Elisha! He also preached and tried to draw his countrymen from the idols. On his journeys, he repeatedly goes through the village of Shunem, which lies close to Jezreel. One day, while he is walking through Shunem, a woman suddenly comes outside. She walks over to Elisha. She asks him, "Would you like to come inside with me, sir? You can rest in my home and eat something." Perhaps Elisha was surprised. This did not happen every day. Most of the time he was mocked and laughed at. Gladly he answers and follows this friendly woman into her dwelling. She prepares a meal for him. He eats and drinks. When he finally gets up to travel further, this woman says to him, "When you come through Shunem again, My home is open for you. You can come whenever you like. You are always welcome." Elisha thanks her kindly for her hospitality and cheerfully journeys onward. This unexpected kindness does him good. Since that time, Elisha repeatedly visits at the home of this Shunammite woman. He never goes past her house without stopping in. Her husband is also friendly toward the prophet of the Lord. All of the Israelites do not bend their knees before Baal, and there are some who fear the Lord in truth, even if there are not many. This family is one of the few. It is no wonder that Elisha becomes attached to these people. He visits them gladly. He feels at home there. They also have affection for him. He notices this in everything. One time, Elisha visits them again. When he leaves, this woman says to her husband, "It is a pity that the prophet Elisha always stays for such a short time. Do you think it would be good if I had a room made for him? Elisha could then sleep with us if he likes." Her husband immediately approves. Happily, they can pay for it, for they are rich. They build a comfortable room. When it is finished, they put a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp in it. This room is only for Elisha. From now on, this is his room. She keeps it clean, but they do not use it for themselves. Elisha comes again and enters into her home. She shows him the room which she purposely had made for him. Elisha is deeply affected. So much thoughtfulness overpowers him. He can now come there at noon, when it is so hot, and lie down for a little while, or he can stay for a night. And he knows that he never comes too often. "If I could only do something in return," he thinks. Do you know what? He shall ask her if she is in need of anything. He shall ask her if he can do anything for her. "Gehazi, come here," Elisha calls. He comes. "Call this Shunammite woman and ask her if she will come to me," he commands his servant. She soon stands in the doorway of his room. "Can I do anything for you?" Elisha asks her. "Must I ask the king for something for you?" "Nothing, sir," she answers. "I live in the midst of my people, and I am satisfied. I don't need anything." She goes away. When she is gone, Gehazi says, "Master, I know something by which you can make her very happy." "What is that?" Elisha asks inquisitively. "They have no children," his servant says. "Call her again," the prophet orders. The Shunammite woman comes to him the second time. "Woman, you don't have any children, is that right? Next year you shall have a son." When she hears these words, her face brightens with gladness. But that really is too good for her. This was the furthest from her thoughts. She thought that could never be anymore. "Oh, sir," she says with a trembling voice, "do not make me glad with something that cannot be." She really cannot believe it would come to pass. Still, it did happen. Not that Elisha could give it to her. He prays to the Lord for it, and God answers that prayer. When Elisha visits her some time later, she really did have a son. Her eyes shine with joy. She thanks Elisha, but above all, she thanks the Lord for this son. The child thrives, and you can be sure that the mother takes very good care of her little darling. A few years quickly pass by, years of happiness and prosperity for this family. Their child grows up and is walking around the farm. One day he asks his mother if he can go to the field where his father and the servants are busy mowing the ripe grain. She immediately gives him permission. Why not? Be careful, do you hear? She warns him. This little fellow walks away proudly. He is soon in the field with his father. It is warm. The sun sends down its burning rays from a cloudless heaven. It can be very warm in the land of Canaan. He stands by, full of curiosity, and looks with interest at the work. He enjoyed watching them work, and was always so glad to see it. But suddenly he holds his head and complains, "My head, my head! Oh, father, my head hurts so." The father says to one of his servants, "Take him home quickly, because it must be too warm for him here in the field." The servant immediately picks up the boy and walks home with him. He gives the child to his mother and returns to the field. The Shunammite woman takes her child on her lap. It won't be long before her boy will be better again. At least she thinks so. But he does not recover. No, he gets worse. The lad groans continually from the pain. He cries mournfully. At last the mother becomes worried. She did not think it was so serious. What must she do for her boy? Oh, from deep down in her heart, a prayer ascends to God to please cure her child. But it seems as though the Lord does not hear her. She sits for hours with her sick boy on her lap, even until midday. And then her child dies. Deep sorrow fills the heart of this poor mother. She gets up, walks to the room of the prophet Elisha, and lays her dead child on the bed of the prophet. Oh, if Elisha were only there! She at once makes this decision: I will go to him. I will look for him. She sends a message to her husband and asks him for a servant and a donkey. When they come, she immediately goes on her journey. Probably she did not tell her husband their son was dead. At this time, Elisha is upon Mount Carmel. From far, he can see her coming. He is alarmed. Something is not right, he thinks. Perhaps something serious has happened. Otherwise, this Shunammite woman would not look for me. He says to Gehazi, "Run quickly to meet her and ask her if everything is well at home, if they are all healthy." But she will not tell it to this servant. She will tell Elisha herself. When she comes to Mount Carmel, she falls to the ground, sobbing before the man of God, and holds his feet. Gehazi is offended with her actions and wants to chase her away. "No, do not do it," Elisha forbid him. "Let her cry out, for you can see that she is exceedingly sorrowful, and I do not know what has happened. The Lord has hid it from me. The Lord did not reveal it to me." At last she quiets down. "Sir," she says, "I didn't ask you for a son. I said to you that you should not deceive me." Elisha understands immediately what has happened. "Go quickly," he says to Gehazi. "Take my staff and run directly to her house. Do not stand still on the way, and if anyone greets you, do not say anything in return. When you come into the house, lay my staff on the face of the child. Gehazi runs quickly away, but the Shunammite woman remains with Elisha. Sir, she says, I will not leave you. You also must go with me. The prophet stands up and follows her to the village of Shunem. When they come close to her house, Gehazi returns toward them. I did that which you commanded me, Gehazi tells them, but it did not help. The child did not awake. They soon reach her home, and Elisha walks inside. The child is lying upon his bed, dead. He locks the door, kneels, and prays. He asks the Lord to make this child alive again. He knows and believes that God can do it, because the Lord is almighty. After the prayer, he stands up and lies on top of the child. He feels that the flesh of the boy is beginning to get warm again. Afterwards, he walks back and forth in his room. Then, for the second time, he stretches himself over the child. Suddenly, the lad sneezes 7 times. Then, he opens his eyes. The boy is alive again. This is the second time a dead person comes to life. The son of the widow of Zarephath was raised to life by the prophet Elijah, and this child by Elisha. The Lord shows in this that he is the Lord of life and death. Elisha calls the Shunammite woman. She is deeply affected. She bows before Elisha with deep respect. She takes her living child in her arms and leaves the room of the prophet of the Lord. What do you think? Was this mother glad? Famine prevails in Israel, which is a heavy punishment. This famine has come because the Israelites have left the Lord, and they are worshipping the idols. Blessings and punishments exchange with each other. During this famine, Elisha visits the school for the prophets at Gilgal. He instructs these young prophets in the laws and institutions of the Lord. They all listen attentively and try to remember what they hear. Finally, it is time to eat. One of them went to the fields to hunt for something, because there is no bread. He found a wild vine. On this vine grew something like a melon about the size of an apple. Probably we can eat these fruits, this son of the prophet thinks. He cuts them from the vine, returns and makes the meal ready. And they soon sit at the table. Each receive a dish full of this cooked pottage. And they taste it, but quickly spit it out. Bah! We cannot eat that. It tastes too bitter. Children, it is no food. It is poison. If they would eat much of it, they would get sick and probably die. They find this distressing. All their trouble has been for nothing, and they are so hungry. Man of God, they cry, death is in the pot. Elisha sees the disappointed faces. He asks, do you have a little meal? Yes, they still have a little meal left, but not enough to bake some bread. Elisha tells them to bring some of this meal. He sprinkles it over the poisonous food, stirs it together, and the bitter taste disappears. They can now eat it. It is no longer poisonous. Is it because of the few hands full of meal? Why, no. A miracle is performed. The Lord made this poisonous food edible. All these people can now eat of it, and it also tastes delicious. They feasted upon it. Shortly after this, Elisha receives a gift from a plain man. He receives 20 loaves of barley bread and some dry corn. Now you must not think that they were large loaves. Oh no, they were only small cakes. Elisha would not eat this bread all alone. No, everyone in the school must eat of it. But how can that be? Isn't there far too little for that? His servant says to him, Master, we have 100 people here. They all cannot eat of this bread and corn. There is not enough for so many people. Still, Elisha says, make the meal ready. For thus says the Lord, they all shall be able to eat plentifully, and besides there shall be bread left over. His servant obeys, and the impossible occurs. The 100 men eat until they have enough. After everyone is satisfied, it appears that there is some bread left. See, boys and girls, the Lord is able to make much from a little. The widow of Zarephath had only a little meal and a little oil. Still, they ate of this for months. Nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. O children, if you have any difficulties, ask the Lord to help you. He is able because He is the Creator of heaven and earth. In his journeys, Elisha comes again to the school for the prophets at Jericho. However, that building has become too small. There is not enough room for everyone. Therefore, they want to build a few rooms to enlarge the building. Master, they say, is it satisfactory to you that we go to Jordan to get some timber from there? We would like to enlarge our school. Why, yes, Elisha answers, that is good. You may go to Jordan. Will you go with us? They ask him. Neither has the prophet any objection to this. Quickly, each of them gets his axe, and they are soon ready to depart. However, one of the sons of the prophets has no axe. That is no problem. He will go borrow one. He quickly returns, for he has been successful. Someone in Jericho was so kind as to loan him an axe. With high spirits, they all go toward the river. A moment later, the dull chopping blows are heard along the bank. Everyone does his best. They chop and chop, and the chips fly all around. The son of the prophet with the borrowed axe also chops away cheerfully. However, the iron suddenly flies off the wooden handle, and with a big sweep it splashes into the water. Frightened, the ambitious worker stares after the iron. Oh, he has lost his axe! The man from whom he had borrowed this axe will be angry. He dare not return and tell him what happened, and yet, what can he do about it? O master, he says to Elisha, this is terrible, because this axe didn't belong to me. I borrowed it. Helplessly, he stares at the place where the iron had disappeared in the water. Elisha has compassion with him. In what place did the axe fall? He asks. There, sir, there, answers the man, while he shows the approximate place. Then Elisha cuts down a stick and throws this piece of wood to the designated place. Look at that. The heavy iron comes floating to the top. You probably will say, how can that be? Iron does not float. No, boys and girls, you are right, it doesn't. But here it does. God used that simple means to perform a miracle, another miracle. The son of the prophet could take up the axe, and he could now return the borrowed axe to its owner. Do you see? This is how Elisha traveled about. He helped upon every occasion. Wherever he was, he would deliver those who were in need. Why did the Lord, through the means of his servant Elisha, perform so many miracles? The Israelites did not deserve it. Why then did the Lord do it? Is that a difficult question? Do you know the answer? Boys and girls, the Lord did it so that the Israelites would learn that he is the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their God. The gods which the Israelites worshipped were no gods, but they were idols. These idols could not perform any miracles. With this, the Lord would say, O people of Israel, bend your knees before me, and not before the dumb images. If you need anything, ask me for it. I am willing to help you. I can help you. Yes, and I shall help you, if you will but ask me for it. But if you bend your knees before those dead stone images, I will not help you. All these miracles were performed for that purpose, children. In spite of all their sins, the Lord blessed the children of Israel so that they would be ashamed of themselves and again bend their knees before the God of heaven and earth. And did the Israelites do this? No, they did not. They would not worship the Lord. How foolish, wasn't it? But, what is done by you? The Lord blesses us also. The Lord also helps you often. Why does the Lord do this? Do you deserve it? No, no. Why then does the Lord do it? So that you would serve and fear the Lord, so that you would live to the honor of God. But you cannot serve the Lord. Yes, worse, you do not want to serve the Lord. The reason for this is that we have a heart which hates God. We lie in ruins because of sin. Isn't that terrible? Bend your knees and ask the Lord if he will give you a new heart, a heart that loves him.